This is Creepy and Geeky, a part of the Morbidly Beautiful Podcast Network. Welcome to Creepy and Geeky. I'm your host, Robert, and on today's episode, we're continuing our journey down the MCU's Phase 4 with Eternals. Joining me for this episode is Donna from the Dawn of the Dead podcast. Welcome back to the show, Donna.
Well, it is good to be back. Seems like I just was here not too long ago.
When are you not here?
I know. I got a nice little cubby over there.
I know.
Comfy pillows.
Right?
Just hanging out.
We are going to be talking about Eternals today, which is the third movie of the MCU's fourth phase four. And the multiverse saga. But before we do that, we just had some news today, the day of our recording, Scream 7 is back in production, and they not only got Nev Campbell back, but they also got Kevin Williamson, who wrote 1, 2, and 4. Mm-hmm. He's back to direct. He's not writing, which is a little weird. But you know, probably because they already had a script in place, and so they're just like, we'll use that script, and then we'll get Kevin Williamson. So normally this would be cause for celebration, because seriously, as a Scream fan myself, I love that.
Yeah.
You know, it's great. They finally backed the truck up money to Nev enough to give her to get her back on. But this really comes at the heels of Melissa Barrera getting fired for her support of Palestine. And with that, I just can't support it. This is going to be the first Scream movie I won't see in the theaters. I've seen every other one up until now, and I just won't go see this one now.
I know I'm gonna watch it eventually, but I'm not going to watch it. You know what I mean?
I'll
get to it, but I'll be honest with you, man. I think other than Scream 2 and maybe Scream 3, no, Scream 3 was the only one I saw in the theaters. Mm. I'll be 100% honest with you.
The best one. Come on.
Yeah, that's the only one that I saw, and that was fun. It was a fun outing, but I'm happy for Nev. I will say that. I hope she got a shitload of money out of it. I mean, I really do.
I am to a degree, but it really, like, I question her decision on this. I question both of them because, like, unless they come out and say, hey, we support Melissa Barrera and we think what was done was dirty or whatever, you know, in some way supporting her, I just, like, that would be maybe the only way I could see my way into it.
I mean, I agree with you 100% on that, but you know,
other than
also thinking dollar sign. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
I can only imagine how many zeros they gave this woman to come, because they're scrounging now. They don't know what to do.
And then to me, like, I'm sorry, but Nev Campbell, she doesn't have much outside of Scream. She doesn't do a lot of stuff, and her popularity has never been that big outside of Scream. She's great. I'm not going to deny that she's great in the series and everything, but it's just outside of this, like, what does she have?
Yeah.
I mean, it's sad to say, but you know, and I was fine with her not being a part of the series. I was ready for it to move on. So I really wanted to see what they were going to do. I was hoping Spyglass Entertainment, which is the people who are producing it, which are the people mm-hmm. who fired Melissa Barrera. I was hoping that they would, I knew they weren't going to give up the rights. Producers like that, they all they see is dollar signs. So they knew that they were going to get some of these people, but I'm hoping it's a big enough backlash on them that they'll either Nev and Williamson will back out or something, because I just think it's in very bad taste.
It's definitely going to split a lot of people who love this franchise into large factions, because I've already seen people posting, I can't wait to see Nev again, and then I've already people saying, fuck this, I'm not going to see this.
Yep.
So it's gonna be interesting to see the camp set up about this. But I for one was shocked, but I feel I really feel and I really hope that she does come out and at least
Yeah.
speak on the behalf of Miss Barrero. I think, I don't know. I feel some kind of way about it. Part of me is like, yeah, I kind of want to see where this is going to go, but I'm also like you, where I love the fact that we were getting a whole new direction and a
Yeah.
whole new group of people. And yeah, you know, what is she going to do that she didn't do in Scream 4? You know what I
Right.
mean? I mean, I'm
Yeah.
just keeping it real with you. Are we going to have her kids in this? Is she going to be, you know, a
Well, is Patrick
teenager or
Dempsey
something?
coming back? You know,
Yeah,
it's
you
like,
know.
you know, it's
And
there's
he's
so
in
many unanswered.
Thanksgiving, which that's problematic in itself.
Oh my God, yeah. Yeah, we're
But I
not even gonna
mean,
get into
yeah,
that.
man, no, we don't have time for that. But yeah, I feel, you know, it's definitely going to be something I'm going to be keeping my eye on. But yeah, I can't see
Yeah.
myself going to see it. Just honestly, out of pure laziness, because I never saw any of the other ones in the theater. But
I
but
mean,
you know,
it just kills me because the Scream franchise is my second favorite horror
yeah, I
franchise
know it's
after The
one of
Evil
your
Dead.
favorites.
Yeah, and so it's like, oh, it just kills me because like I would really like to support it going forward, but I can't.
Nah.
They killed all the momentum and any goodwill. Like after they fired her, that's when it killed all the
It's
momentum for
sour.
me.
Yeah, it's sour
Yeah.
for everybody, you know. And like I
So.
said, I've already seen, you know, tons of people that I know that are like super excited that she's coming back. And I've seen tons of people are like, oh, nah, fuck this movie, fuck them.
Yeah.
And that sucks because I really do have a lot of fun with the Scream franchise. I really like
Yeah.
watching them. Like I can watch them over and over and over.
Yeah,
But
absolutely.
yeah, it's a shame. We'll see. We'll
Yeah,
see what
I mean,
happens.
fingers crossed we get some kind of good resolution to it one way or the other, but
Yeah.
you know, it's just I don't know. Yeah, until we get something like that, I just can't support it. But
Yeah, and
that's my
I don't
take on
blame
it,
you. Yeah.
and I'm not gonna be one of those people who's like online who's like, oh well, if you do want to watch it and you suck as a human. No, you don't.
Yeah,
You just
no.
you like the movie. I get, you know, you're not playing into that and everything, and that's fine. That's everybody's got to have their own moral stance on it
Right.
based on their own stuff. That's 100%, because I'm guilty of, you know, doing things that other people boycott or whatever, you know. So, but it's just, yeah, this one is one of those ones that I'm taking a stance on for sure, and just being like, no, I can't endorse this in any way, shape, or form,
Yeah.
based on that. And I think it's weird though too, because I've seen a lot of, like you said, the lot of people hopping on it and talking about, you know, not supporting it or supporting it. And there's a lot of people who are just bitching about Nev being part of it, coming back for it. I haven't seen barely anybody talk about Kevin Williamson coming back on and how he sucks for doing it too. So, which is really, really
Yeah, that
bothering me
is
because
kind
it's
of
very
odd.
sexist.
Yeah, now that I'm sitting here thinking about it, all of them were either pro her or against her, which is really, that's fucked up. I
Yeah,
didn't even
not a
think about that until you
single.
said
I
that.
haven't seen barely. I wouldn't say not a single, but I've barely seen anybody mention him at all. And I'm just like, that's not
Wow.
cool, man. Like, that's seriously,
Yeah,
like,
that's a dirtbag move right there.
yeah. So it's really weird. But yeah, I mean,
Be continued.
yeah, definitely. So we're gonna keep an eye on it and see what happens for sure. So, but that being said, we're gonna go ahead and move into back over to the MCU, and we're gonna talk about Eternals, which, like I said before, was the third, I believe, the third movie of this phase, and after Black Widow and Shang-Chi. And yeah, this is a movie. It's not a bad movie, and that's what I wanna take away from this is it's not a bad movie at all. It's a little overlong. I feel like there could have been some editing done to, you know, trim it just a little bit.
They definitely could have trimmed this movie down some.
Right. And you know, it's but I here's my problem. So being a comic book fan myself, I've noticed that they've tried to make the Eternals work several times in the past. The Eternals as characters never really work all that well. One or two of them here or there will pop up, and you know, but as a group, as a title itself, they never last that long. Maybe a year, you know, and most of the time it's a little mini series rather than a full on,
Run.
like ongoing title. Yeah,
Yeah.
just because people just don't jive with it. And it's just, I don't know. That's kind of what it felt like watching it too. Is it's just like the characters just aren't, I don't know, I guess dynamic enough, especially when you take into account that Icarus is a Marvel version of Superman, and Thena is basically Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman, yeah.
And Makari is basically the Flash, you know. And so it's like, so you have these characters that are very similar to other characters, and you're just like, I mean,
we've seen it before, kinda.
And so I like the whole concept. Don't get me wrong, I do like the whole concept of the Celestials and all of that. That's going on in this. There's some big heavyweight things going on in this movie. And I think that's also what kind of is like good and bad about it too, is that it doesn't feel like your typical Marvel movie, and that's okay. Again, I'm more than happy to kind of stretch out and try new things, because I appreciate that when they take wild swings like this. But it was a wild swing, and I don't think it worked as well for everybody else either. You don't hear anybody barely talking about the Eternals anymore. So
yeah, that's kind of I've noticed that that's one of those Marvel movies that kind of gets put to the wayside. Nobody really mentions it. And then when you bring it up, you're like, oh, it was okay. You know, it's never, they weren't wowed by it. And I get what you're saying, because there is, I don't want to say a disconnect, but you don't feel like these characters are, say, like the Avengers or even Guardians of the Galaxy. They don't have that familiar family kind of feeling, or that roster feeling of people who actually care about each other, even though they do. It just doesn't come across that way.
Well, and here's part of what I think is part of the problem too, is that whereas most of the characters in the comic books and in the MCU themselves, they feel like real people. Even when you are a god like Thor and Loki and everything, you feel like they're down to earth, real characters.
Because they got real people shit going on.
Exactly. I mean, but the Eternals, they don't seem like that. They seem like every moment you ever see them, they just seem like gods pretending to be humans. So
yeah, that's a really good way to put it, because that is, and it seems very soap opera-ish too. There's not a whole lot of, even though there is a lot of weight in the movie, we don't really feel like that, or at least I don't, from those characters until we see them individually. And even then, once again, it's like they're putting on a farce of what human life is like.
Right.
So for me, I think there was only maybe one or two characters that I felt actually, you know, had those human qualities. And we'll get to those characters when we get to them. But I don't know. I like everybody in this cast. I think it's an amazing cast, but they just did not make all of those cylinders click for me. I don't know what that is or why that is, but I don't know. Yeah. It just didn't click for me.
Yeah, no, same. I think that, you know, there's so much going against it and very little going for it. It's a very beautifully shot movie. Lots
of gorgeous.
Yeah, lots of on location stuff. There's like, I mean, I'm sure they used green screens and stuff, but they were actually on location for a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that made it in a lot of ways a lot more beautiful than your average Marvel movie. But I don't see a long-term future with the characters. I definitely don't see a sequel coming down the pipes anytime
absolutely
soon.
Not.
You know, the big questions at the end of it is like, okay, so what's going on with the Celestial? Where did they go? What's with the ones that are on the ship that meet Star Fox at the end? And we'll get to that. And then, and the Celestial that's, you know, hanging out in the middle of the ocean. So, but yeah, and people have complained afterward. They're like, okay, well, why has nobody mentioned in the MCU since then that there's a dead giant in the middle of the ocean? It's like, because people got other things to worry about right now.
We have world eaters coming and aliens dropping in every 5 minutes. There are other things going on, sir.
Oh man.
Multiverses cracking. There's a whole world of things that are going on. That's probably not even a pimple in what we got going on. You know what I mean? It's just like, that's unbelievable. That would be the one thing that you would hone in on. Not everything else that's been going on. People, blipping and coming back. None of that stuff. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, this is old hat for them now. Like, just like, whatever. It's just a dude in the ocean. Like, with everything
Even
else that's been
mere
going
mortals would be
on.
like, oh, that's just some guy. He'll wake up at some point, probably eons from now.
Yeah, exactly. So, but this movie's, I like this movie in some ways. I liked being able to see kind of how they, kind of existed through history, and they kept like kind of influencing the culture, how Thena became a Athena, and they all kind of translated into different new gods or whatever from different pantheons. So I mean that part's fun. But yeah, and like you said, I like all the actors in this. Everybody's doing a good job. There's some good emotional moments. The stuff going on with Sprite, because she's stuck in a child's body, and can't grow up. She's got the mind of a, several
Of a
thousand year old
god.
adult, but it's reminiscent of Claudia from Interview with the Vampire.
Vampire. Yeah,
Yeah,
I thought of
that's
that too. And
yeah.
she loved Icarus so
Yeah.
long. Can you imagine longing and pining for somebody for thousands and thousands of years, and you just look perpetually like a 12, 13-year-old, like
Yeah.
nobody's ever gonna be interested in you, or
Right.
at least the nice people won't,
Yeah, yeah.
the weirdos. But that had to suck on her point. You could feel the longing from her every
Yeah.
time she saw him, and I felt really bad. My heart went out for her.
Yeah.
But
Just
yeah, you're
yeah.
right. All of the actors were great. I had fun with this movie. I definitely feel like it should have not have been two, what is it,
2 and a
2.5
half
hours.
hours, yeah.
My goodness.
I'll admit it, this last viewing took me like three I watched it in three chunks. I watched like an hour the first chunk, a half hour the second chunk. Now, to be fair, I've been very tired the last few days because I just started a new job. And then the last hour just today. So, just before not too long before we recorded. So yeah, it's been a lot. So, but
Yeah,
yeah,
we
it's
definitely could have shaved a good portion of that and maybe tightened it up a little bit. I think that may also be a reason why people don't really kind of click to it. And I mean,
yeah.
Marvel movies are long anyway. We're used to that, but we're also used to a different, style of pacing, or
Right.
there's a lot more going on, or there's story and then there's action, there's story and there's action. And we have a lot of action in here. We have
Yeah.
a somewhat of a story. I feel like the story was just barely there.
Yeah, I feel like they were trying to like part of the pace. Now, here's the thing. You have an independent director, Chloe Zhao, who made this, who had never made a Marvel movie before. And that's what Marvel's kind of been doing is, getting these indie directors to after a movie or two and giving them a chance to make a big budget, spectacular movie like this. And that's awesome. I think that's really cool because that gives somebody with a good sense of economy and storytelling and stuff a chance at telling a bigger story and maybe bringing their own little skills to it rather than somebody who's used to big budget filmmaking, and doing all the explosions and everything else. And you get more of a product. And I feel like that what they're doing with these is good because you're getting more of a director's maybe not the full vision that they might have, but they're
But you're
getting the
getting their
chance.
style and their
Yeah.
touches that, their cinematic touches that they want to
Exactly.
bring across the
Because,
screen, which is beautiful. I mean, I think
yeah.
She made a beautiful film. Like I agree
Absolutely.
with you. I love looking at it. I love looking at the different locations, you know, the costumes, the everything about it is just very, very lush and beautiful. So I think once again, that's my biggest thing. I think the pacing of it, or just it just needs to be just a little shorter. Maybe,
Right.
you know, not under 2 hours, but definitely not 2.5. I think that was just too much.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, and again, I think part of that is the filmmaker. She's bringing her own sensibilities to it, and that's accounting for part of it. Part of it's like, you know, because they're immortals, I think they were kind of stretching it out a little bit to give a sense of time, you know, of this long time passing and this history with them. But I think the biggest issue that I have with it is none of the characters seem very fully fleshed out, very interesting. They're surface interesting. Like I didn't hate any of the characters, any of the Eternals, but they didn't feel that like that fleshed out. You know, there's not like, you know, for the fact that they've all been living for thousands of years, you don't get a ton of information about each one of them.
Yeah, we don't
And I
really
get
get
it.
to spend time with any of them. I think Bastos is the only one that we get to see, like his home life with his husband and his kid, but we really only get that glimpse, like, oh, he's married. Oh, he has a kid, you know? It's like that's about as much as we got.
Exactly.
Forgive me, I cannot remember the character's name. Oh gosh, what was his name?
Which one?
I'm sitting here trying. Is it Kingo? Kringo? I
Kingo,
can't remember.
Kingo,
Kingo.
Camille Nanjiani's character.
Yeah, which kudos to him for working out for this role, because I think he started that
Right? He
workout
got
regimen and he's
buff.
never stopped. He's still buff as all get out. It's crazy.
He got
But
ripped.
I love the fact that he, yeah, obviously we knew he was going to be some of the comic relief because he's a comedian, but he did the only smart thing that I was so happy to see him. Finally, somebody who's immortal or has lived for a long time figured out, why don't I just make a lineage of actors? This is my great grandfather. This is my great grandfather. This is my father, and this is me. And I thought, that is the smartest thing. Why has no one ever done this? Especially with him in Bollywood. It just makes perfect sense. But, you know, he at least found his place, even though it was to make lots of money and, you know, to reap all of the good stuff. He was at least enjoying it. Like when she said, go and find your way or find your purpose and find what you want to do. And this is what he wanted to be an actor. Why wouldn't you be? You can't get hurt. You could do your own stunts. You could, I mean, you essentially could do whatever you want. I think
Well, I
he
want
was
to
the
get
one
into
that had
that you
them.
can't get hurt thing because these Eternals get hurt quite
They get
often.
hurt. Yeah. But they had somebody that could heal them
They
for a
did,
short time. So,
But yeah.
But yeah, so one of the things we didn't talk about was the deviants. What's your take on
Yeah. So, and
the
that's the other issue I have with this because I mean, ultimately the deviants, they're supposed to be the big bad for the thing, but the big bad really isn't them. It's
deviants? Right.
it, we get we'll get into that. But the deviants are, and the deviants in the comic books are different. They are a similar in nature, their creations, but they're just like they're kind of malformed humanoids mostly. They're not like these weird, you know, wire creatures. And so, you know, so you get, and sometimes you'll get a deviant who actually looks okay, you know, looks fairly human for, you know, their race. And so it just kind of depends on the whole thing. But it's actually a race of people. And so it's a lot different than these creations that were meant to just kind of scour the earth, just to create conflict, which we find out later. But I don't know. I found them to be disappointing because it felt like going back into what is one of the biggest criticisms that people have with Marvel is the generic horde of villains, the horde type villains like the Chitauri or you know the Ultron the Ultron the sub Ultron bots. But so I that's where I felt like they were just kind of even when you got to the big one who could talk and think and everything, it didn't feel like, again, it wasn't fully fleshed out. Like everything in this movie is so surface level, that it's just disappointing. And I know they're telling this bigger overall story, about the Celestials and everything else, but like to sacrifice the rest of that for that part of the story just felt, I don't know, wasted. There was nothing to hold on to character-wise. So
So we really just it's almost like, well, at least for me, there was no real high stakes. I didn't feel like for a minute that they weren't going to achieve. And I know that's part of the Marvel thing anyway. Of course, the heroes are going to be triumphant and they're going to overcome everything. But you never felt like, oh my gosh, they're probably not going to, you always get that little twinge of, oh my God, they're probably going to get defeated. You know what I mean? And you didn't get that in this movie. I didn't believe that for a moment. Now, I do want to ask you something though. Were you shocked by the betrayal of, well, I'm just going to say the character because the movie's been out. Were you shocked by the betrayal of Icarus at all?
Honestly, I don't remember. I don't remember when I watched it the first time if I was or not. I don't think so. It didn't, like, to me, it didn't, like, a it didn't seem to come out of the blue as much, for people, like, because he, like, during that sequence when he betrays Ajak, that, like, you can tell that he doesn't agree with her. Like, he is there for to fulfill Arishem's
The
plan,
goal and the
and
mission,
that's
yeah.
it. Yeah, and that's it for him. He has no. And that's again where it kind of sucks for these characters, because there's not much in terms of personality or growth or much of anything. He's not an interesting dynamic character, because he, to me, because like he's just solidly this, like this, he's all about the mission. You know what I mean? Like, in the end, he doesn't kill Cersei when he can, because he loves her, but even that, it's kind of like, I don't know, I never really felt their love story was really that great either, which was like crazy. And to me, it felt like for him, it was always part of the mission. Even the love that he felt for her was part of the mission. And
Yeah, I
so
can
like
see that.
I never felt like he truly really loved her, even when he didn't kill her. I feel like, that was at that point, he was just like, it's the I've failed, and whatever. And, maybe at the end he did. Maybe at the end he reconciled that. But
But
up
it still
until
didn't
that
come
point, but
across
for five,
that
yeah, but
way.
for 5,000 years, he was all about the mission and was about to kill her and was about to kill all of them. And so it was just like, I don't know, dude. It's just like, yeah, I didn't feel like he was. It was not a shock to me. What about to you?
It was a little shocking for me just because I wasn't expecting it, and I was kind of like, why? Why would you? I think because we saw everybody else actually, with the exception of maybe Sprite, who was living with, why can I not remember these characters' names? I just saw this.
Mercy.
Yeah, so Sprite was living with Cersei in London or whatever, and everybody got a piece of their own life. And even Droog, who was doing the whole cult leader thing, but everybody got their own life, and we never saw Icarus. We never saw what he was doing outside until he came back. So that right there should have given me a kind of a heads up, and it just so happened that he showed up when the deviant showed up. So I don't know why I didn't piecemeal that
Well,
together, but
and not only that, but we never, even after you get the reveal of the whole thing with him and Ajak, we never got any part of him's past about what he'd been up to previous to that. Like, there's no, like, he exists as nothing except for to fulfill that
to
mission. So
fulfill
what
that
was he
mission.
doing? What was he doing for the last couple of 100 years that he wasn't with Cersei? And you know, so it's like, I don't know, it's very odd, very like, and I get it. There's so many characters to juggle, and you can only give them so much story time. So, you know, and I think that's where it kind of it fails is there's just too much going on, but so little with the characters. The
Yeah,
bigger,
they really aren't fleshed out
yeah.
enough for us to really be invested. I think that's the other thing. Nobody, you know, we're not really invested. We get to see some of them having issues with certain things, you know, obviously Droog with the, you know, the war. He was tired of people killing each other and, you know, that
Right.
they could he can essentially make mankind peaceful, but you know, she's like, "No, we got to let them figure out their own way." And he was just not having that. So
Right.
I thought it was nice to see that, you know, even amongst them, they felt for these humans and they felt bad that they had to do all of these things to, just to catch up, you know?
Right.
Yeah, I wish they had been fleshed out a little bit more. And I agree with you. We're definitely probably not going to get a sequel anytime soon if we
No.
ever get one.
I mean, I
Yeah.
could see some of the characters popping up in you know, maybe an Avengers movie or something else down the road, being a side character. But I can't see them ever getting a full on another movie or anything ever again.
Which is terrible because of the way that
Yeah.
it ended. I mean,
Yeah.
it just
I
ends with
know.
you like wanting to know what's going to happen. Like, what
Right.
is, where did they go? What's going to happen? Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to. I'm not saying I hated it. Because I don't hate this movie.
No,
I think it's a
yeah.
really fun movie. But you know, there are some things. Once again, it just feels kind of a disconnect. But she wanted to tell this tale, and I'm glad that she did because she did have her
Yeah.
own voice on what she wanted to say about these particular group of heroes. And it is all very lovely and lush. And we've got all these great actors. So, you know, it's definitely one that needs to be in your Marvel collection if you don't already have this one.
Yeah.
I would definitely have it just because I love all of these actors and I do love seeing them. I just don't buy the idea of them kind of being on the same level or kind of how we have Guardians of the Galaxy and they feel like a family. We have the
Right.
Avengers and they feel like a superhero group of people who care about each other. This one, they seem like they care about each other, but just barely, you know?
Yeah. No, and that's what comes off weird too, is like they care, like they seem to care about each other quite a bit. And you know, but again, for people who've been a family for thousands of years and everything, but don't get me wrong, family is family and
Well, that's
it's
true.
good and bad. So,
Yep.
you know, so I mean, in some ways, yeah, it does feel like family. So, you know, you know, you go off and you do your own thing. You don't talk to each other for 1,000 years. That makes sense.
You come back, yeah.
Yeah. But I can tell you, I haven't talked to very much of my family. So,
Don't get me started on that one.
yeah, no, it's, yeah, and I don't want anybody to think that like we're hating on the movie or anything like that, 'cause I don't hate the movie. I think it's a good movie. I think that there are things that could have been done better to make it even better. But I think that the overall story about the Celestials, the celestial seed that's in the earth that's been gestating for millennia,
Waiting just for the amount of humans so we can
right.
explode.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just it's an interesting concept, and it's very, again, it's even within the comic books, it's a very high-minded, very kind of esoteric thing about gods and what on this cosmic scale that's really hard to fathom in a lot of ways. But you know, because it's like, I mean, at the end, you get this celestial, you get Arishem who comes close to Earth to take, you know, the three of them that are still on Earth away. And, you know, and people see it. I mean, you can't not see it. Whatever hemisphere that was at the time, that the Eastern Hemisphere, I guess, that saw him, like, I don't know, that would fuck you up.
Oh yeah, man. And
Like, you
that's
see something like that in the sky like that, and you'd just be like your mind would boggle.
And my other thing about that too is he comes on there to get them. Why didn't he just wake the Celestial up and let it finish the job?
Well, because she killed it. Like she because that's like because that was confusing to me at first too. And then like some point in that epilogue area, it was like she said something about killing it so that it was
Okay,
dead.
gotcha.
Yeah, because I thought she was just putting it back to sleep too. But yeah, no, she did. She killed it. So.
Wow.
And that goes into something too, because there in the comic books there was a celestial in the earth, not one buried deep like that, but one that was like that had a mountain range form around it or whatever like that, and it was called the Dreaming Celestial. And so it's there's again there's so many interesting things going on there, that you know could potentially flow into something else. You know, there's in not the current storyline of the Avengers, but in the one just before that, there actually was a celestial body that was up in the Arctic or whatever, and the Avengers, it was like hollowed out or something, and the
Oh
Avengers were
gosh.
you yeah the Avengers were using it as their base. They
That's
were
their base. I remember
yeah, and I
that.
was just like, okay, that's a little weird. You know.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't think they're going to be doing that, using Tiamat's body as their base for the future, but you know, you never know.
You
They
never
could do
know.
that.
Might make a cool clubhouse. I don't know.
Yeah. But it's I think this movie's interesting. It's got some cool ideas and everything. I'd like to see them pick up on some of it. Even if we don't get very much with the Eternals, I'd like to see them pick up with stuff. I've heard rumors, and you know, it may just be wishful thinking, but I heard rumors that part of the storyline of Thunderbolts might involve Tiamat in the ocean
Really?
there. Yeah, but I mean, give that a huge grain of salt because that's been a rumor for years.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, I would give that a huge grain of salt because you never know. Like that kind of stuff comes out and then it gets changed anyway. So, but yeah, so I mean, it would be interesting, but I hope some of this stuff eventually gets picked up in some way, shape, or form. And I'd like to see some of the characters come back.
Yeah.
Cersei was a member of the Avengers for a while in the comic books. Gilgamesh, unfortunately, he's dead in the movies, but he was actually an Avenger for a short while as well. And of course, Dane Whitman, who we didn't get much of his stuff in this
Not at
movie,
all.
but
He's
he's the
the
Avenger known as Bl the Black
Black
Knight,
Knight,
yeah,
right?
who actually had a romantic relationship with Cersei in the 90s. So that's at least, you know, canon in both comics and the movies. So it'd be interesting, and I think that's when we talk about future Avengers projects, I always forget. That's what's unfortunate about this movie. That's like I forget about certain aspects of it, and I forget that Dane was in this and that he is a potential future Avenger
Right.
that we could be seeing in an upcoming Avengers movie. So, but I you know, another aspect of that is we get in the after credits scene, we get him, you know, looking at the ebony sword, that, you know, will be basically turning him into the Black Knight. But we get that little audio cameo of Mahershala Ali
It's
as
Blade.
Blade, even though
Yeah.
it's like the weirdest cameo. It's like what, number one, why Blade? And number two, like just because he's got a sword. And number two, you're gonna have him cameo just as a voice cameo and like be the most like unrecognizable like cameo aspect. I mean, you know what I mean? Like if you didn't recognize his voice, and I didn't when I first heard it, I was like, huh? What? Who
Who's
was talking
talking
to him?
to him? Yeah.
Yeah. And then I found out
Yeah.
later everybody's like, oh, that's Blade. And I'm like,
But how
okay.
are we supposed to know
But one,
that?
how are we supposed to know? And two, why? Why Blade?
I agree. Like, what, why though?
I mean, it's like I'm maybe in the comic books. Maybe I haven't read them, but maybe Black Knight fought vampires too. I don't know. So, yeah, it was definitely a weird aspect of the movie. But the mid-credit scene actually had Pip the Troll and Star Fox, and Star Fox is Thanos's brother. And Star Fox himself is also an Avenger, or has been an Avenger in the past. But he is basically it. His appearance in this tells us about the offshoot Eternals that lived on the moon Titan, and that's where Thanos is from. That's the scenes in Infinity War where the Avengers and Guardians of the Galaxy fight Thanos.
Oh wow!
So that's the place where they come from. So they were like a offshoot that broke off from the main Titans and went off to live on their own. So it brings up a lot of interesting implications about all that. Are we going to see some of the other Titans? Possibly not, because I'm assuming Thanos killed them all.
Probably.
Yeah. but it does
leave you wanting more of, because like, you're right. Like we don't know, for people who don't know the Black Knight, or, you know, they don't know that was Blade. And then how does that all tie in together? You know, we got Pip the Troll. Which was really cute to see.
And I like Patton Oswalt. So that was,
I was going to say, it was Patton, right? I knew it was somebody.
And I like Patton Oswalt. So that's a great cameo. It's a great little bit. And it brings another one of the Infinity Watch characters. I think the final Infinity Watch. No, at the time, he wasn't the final one. That was Adam Warlock. And for anybody who doesn't know, the Infinity Watch is a group of characters that was Adam Warlock, Gamora, Drax the Destroyer, and Pip the Troll, who were all who kind of palled around and fought Thanos in the 70s. And
I think it was 70s.
They weren't known as the Infinity Watch at the time. That is what they became after the events of the first Infinity Gauntlet storyline, which is what some of the Infinity storyline in the MCU is based on. Definitely go check that out if you're interested in the movie. So Pip the Troll is an interesting character. He's as depicted on the screen, is pretty much kind of how he is on the thing in the comic books. He's just a drunken, loudish troll guy. So, but
everybody has to have one. You have to have one little smart mouth, tiny man, Rocket Raccoon, Pip the Troll,
exactly.
Usually Wolverine.
I really want them to get a short dude for Wolverine.
Like, they need to get.
I would love that, you know, because Wolverine's like 5'3" in the comic books. I would love to see.
We love him.
Yes. Like, because he's scrappy and mean and, you know, like, you know, you're a short person.
I do know. And that's
all
why
that
he's
compacted
my
rage.
But yeah, this film, you know, I would implore people to enjoy it and watch it and just kind of, maybe they'll get more than I got from it. And maybe it's just because I'm not that invested in the Eternals comics. But apparently that's not the case, because I think you said that reading them didn't change anything for you. Like this.
Right.
Hmm.
Yeah. It's the Eternals comic books. If you do want to go check some of them out, the Eternals was created by Jack Kirby. It was one of the last things he did for Marvel, I think, or not one of the last things, but it's, I think he left Marvel, went over to DC, created a bunch of new stuff at DC, like the New Gods and the Forever People. And then came back to Marvel, created the Eternals. I believe that's the correct sequence of events. If I'm wrong, listeners, please tell me. I'm willing to admit that I'm wrong. And so then they popped up in a Thor storyline a little bit down the road. And then they just kind of they pop in. People use, you know, some characters here and there, like Icarus will pop up in a couple of places. Cersei and Gilgamesh were Avengers for a time. And And then they got a big, not a big one. It was like a 7-issue miniseries by Neil Gaiman and John Romita Jr., which kind of redefined them for the modern era.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a good series. And then they got another series a little bit later. And then right around the time this movie was coming out, they got, or a little bit after the movie came out, they had a new series going on that was pretty good. It was pretty good. And it led up to a big Avengers, X-Men Eternals event where the Celestial that the Avengers were using as their base, like came back alive and, and judged humanity and judged each person individually. So it was crazy and weird and like all events a little too big and overstuffed. But
oh my goodness.
Yeah. So it was interesting, but the Eternals, that Eternal storyline was pretty interesting. But yeah, it's, I would recommend checking some of those out. Like, you know, if you're interested in those, but just know going in, they're not a huge presence in the Marvel universe. Right after that series ended, they kind of vanished again.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They just kind of went back to the background again and I think it's just, you know, somebody comes up with an idea. And I think this is typical of most, you know, corporate comic books like this. Somebody comes up with an interesting idea. The editors go, okay, sure. Yeah, let's do that. And then, you know, they put it out for a little while, see how the sales do. They do okay. They spin it out as long as possible. And then it goes back to the background again.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. So, I mean, and you can see that too. Like, you know, they're winding down the Krakoa era of X-Men right now, which has been, you know, pretty hit or miss. But I think the overall concept is very cool. But they are, they're about to wind that down, and it feels like they're kind of maybe stepping back to kind of, I may be wrong. But it feels like they're stepping back to status quo X-Men for a bit. And I think part of that is because they're about to start ramping up X-Men stuff on screen, and they want things to kind of line up. So, which is, you know, fine, I guess, but it's just weird to me. Like, I just like the comic, I always feel like they try to make the comic books try to match what's going on the movies and stuff. And they did this for a little bit. They brought Coulson into the comic books, and that was right. Fine. Like, I didn't mind Coulson being in the comic books, but they found a way to bring Black Nick Fury into the comic books, because the Nick Fury we've had in the comic books for ever has been white Nick Fury. You know, you're Sergeant Fury fan.
Yeah.
So and so it's, you know, it's you know, bringing in his son that he never knew, who was black, and then making him the current Nick Fury. It was like, okay, well, so we're just doing that. Okay,
we're just doing that now.
Yeah. And it's, so I'm like, okay, I get it, don't get me wrong, it's fine, but
at the same time, though, it's not, though.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because what they're doing is they're trying to tailor it to what's going on in the movies. I think sometimes they sacrifice good storytelling because
which is
they
what
think
we want from the comics.
Yeah. And they think that people are going to come from the movies and TV shows into the comic books. And it so very rarely happens. The people who are reading the comic books will go to the movies, but the people who are watching the movies largely don't come back to the comic books.
Yeah, they don't.
So it may come back for one or two, but they're not going to come back for a sustained thing. And it's just not worth it in the long run.
You've already changed the whole trajectory of what we're used to. So, yeah,
exactly.
I don't like when you kind of shoehorn stuff to kind of table make. Yeah, it's not good.
I'm personally perfectly fine with the movies being movies and having their own continuity and having their own look and everything. And the comic books doing the same. Just be separate. It's fine.
Yeah.
They're different realities.
I mean,
you know,
that's how it's been for how long?
Exactly.
Let it be.
Exactly. So, but yeah. But yeah, I mean, like I said, you know, The Eternals is fine. It's not a bad movie. I will say it's not a bad movie. It's slow. The characters are kind of thin, but it's not bad. It's got an interesting overall story that is worth it, at least one watch. I'm not going to blame you if you don't watch it more than once. Because it really doesn't feel like it feels like there's big stakes at the end of it, but considering nothing's happened in the several years since, yeah, you can argue that the stakes weren't really that high
Yeah,
in
I
the
didn't
end.
really think the stakes were that high, especially
Yeah.
when Cersei kind of did the transmutation of the one deviant, and I was
Yeah.
like, oh, okay. And they were all like, oh my God, you've never done that before. I was like, oh yeah, y'all, this is a lock. You got this.
Yeah,
This is
yeah.
something new. Oh my goodness. But yeah, it's definitely a good movie. I love her vision for it. I love what she
Yeah.
brought to it. I love that, like you said, it's an inventive, fresh take. And that is something that is great about Marvel, that they're letting these filmmakers who normally would not have these kinds of budgets or have the opportunity to do something on such a grand scale bring
Right.
their own version of it. So I do love the fact that we get to see an original eye, a view of what she was wanting to create with this world of characters. So for
Absolutely.
that, I love it.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think that that's ultimately where like I land on it too, is like keep bringing in the indie directors or the directors, and they have. I mean, they continue to bring in people who, like Nia DaCosta and oh man, blanking on so many names right now. Scott
Yeah, you got
Derrickson, who did
Ryan
the first,
Coogler and
yeah, Ryan Coogler. Yeah, so many people who did these smaller movies and then got the Marvel jump on that and have made good movies. None of them, like I will continue to argue that no Marvel movie is necessarily a bad movie. They might not be so great, but they're still pretty good, you know.
right.
But you know, it's just, you know, I think that bringing in more, you get directors who are like this. And don't get me wrong, I know Marvel's doing it because they're like, look, we can pay these guys a lot less than we can pay name directors. So
This is true. This is very true.
I know that's part of it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not stupid. But and I know that it's also like, one, we can pay them less, and two, we can control them better. But they brought Sam Raimi in to do Doctor Strange, the second Doctor Strange movie. So, you know, and I would argue that Raimi is still an independent director. Is you know, he's done, kind of biggish things, the Spider-Man movies, but for the most part, he still is an independently minded
Right.
director.
And it
And
comes across that way, definitely.
yeah. And that's what I like, is somebody with a good vision who can bring that across on the screen as much as possible, because I know, but behind it all is Kevin Feige with his hand, kind of guiding everything in the way he wants it. And so, I'm realistic. I know what's going on, but I do like to see these independent directors be able to bring their visions into the Marvel universe and kind of put their little stamps on it, at least a
Yeah.
little bit. And that makes me happier. So, but yeah, I mean, it's a good movie. Definitely check it out. It's worth it. At least once. So, all right. Is there anything that we didn't mention that you wanted to talk about?
Don't think so. Just stop putting Harry Styles on everything.
Oh
I
my
don't want
God, please.
to
He's not that good of an actor. Like I would
He
have, like
really isn't.
I was gonna mention that. Like I was happy to see Star Fox, but not played by Harry Styles. Come
Yeah,
on. You could
man.
have gotten anybody else.
Anybody would have been better,
Come on,
but
Zac Efron, man, come on.
oh yes, definitely.
You're gonna get a pretty guy. Get Zac
Like
Efron. And Zac Efron's
that
actually funny. So,
guy. He really is. You've seen Neighbors, I'm sure.
oh
So
yeah.
yeah.
Dude, I love it. I love that he's like, he plays these serious things. He was just in Iron Claw, and now he's in this other movie, Ricky Stenicky, where it's like,
Oh, I
a gross.
saw that.
I haven't seen the movie yet, but the trailer looks wild. It's
No,
a
I haven't seen the movie, but I am
Peter
definitely
Farrelly
watching
movie.
it.
So,
Yeah.
like, it's one of the Farrelly brothers. It's like, it's gonna be gross.
It's going to be gross and it's going to be hilarious.
Yeah.
But
But
yeah, stop putting Harry Styles in everything, please.
yeah,
That's all
dude
I
cannot
ask.
act. Ugh. That was one of the, that was like, that's what killed me for Don't Worry, Darling. Like, I liked that movie, but it was like, dude, cannot act. Please get
Yeah.
somebody else. But
I'm not a fan.
thankfully, that was a Florence Pugh
Oh yeah,
acting
see, I
acting.
could watch that one because I can just ignore him for
Yeah, exactly.
the little bit of time that he is in it.
Right? Yeah.
But yeah, this was I'm glad that we got to talk about this one. And
Yeah.
it is a really good film. I also feel like they need to stop putting Angelina Jolie in everything, but that's
Oh.
okay.
She was, and it was so weird too, because she's so little used in this movie. It's like you get somebody like her and Salma Hayek.
Salma Hayek.
Like, okay, look, Salma Hayek, I've had a huge crush and I still have a huge crush on
Everybody
Salma
has a
Hayek.
huge crush on
I
Salma
know.
Hayek.
I question anybody who doesn't. But I like it's like to have somebody of her caliber, like, because she's a good actress. And so, and like, look, I'm not a big fan of Angelina Jolie. I give or take her, like, but so it was just
It's
like,
okay.
whatever. Like, yeah, she's okay. But Salma Hayek, man, that was the one that made me mad. I was just like, dude, seriously? Like, make her Cersei. Not that Emma Chan was bad at all, but I don't know. Again, I think Emma Chan was doing fine, but it was, I don't know. The Cersei in the comic books was a different character. And again, it's one of those things where I was like, I'd like to see them bring a little bit more life into some of these things. So,
Yeah,
but
it's it was it is what it is. I agree with you, especially with
yeah.
Salma Hayek. I feel like that was she was very underused,
Underused as hell, yeah.
but yeah, definitely watch it. We keep going back to that,
I
but I
know.
don't have anything else to say about it, honestly. I think it's a fun watch. I do enjoy watching it, and
Yeah.
this time when I watched it to prep for talking with you, that was only the second time I had watched it. So I
Oh,
do
okay.
see myself going back to watching it again because I just really like the actors a lot, and I have a lot of fun
Yeah.
with the ones that do have a little bit more oomph going on. It's
I
just
feel like it's a movie you can put on the background and like, enjoy it for what it is, but just put
right.
it on in the background, do some stuff,
And then
you
if you
know.
get up and make a sandwich,
Yeah,
you'll
you're
be
not gonna miss
fine.
much. Yeah. And I don't mean it in a bad way. I just mean
No,
that it's like
I
a
really
movie that's
don't.
pretty and like, but there's just an like there's just enough going on in it that you won't miss much if you're not paying full attention.
Right.
So, it's definitely is a good movie for that. So, and again, I don't mind movies like that. Like a movie that's kind of a slow burn, that's kind of chill, good visuals, good music, that kind of stuff. That's fine. I like a good mood movie. So, but yeah.
So bottom line,
Definitely.
we're saying watch it.
Yeah, check it out. All right. Well, I appreciate you coming on, especially kind of last minute for it. But yeah, it's a I again, I always love having you on. It's always a good time.
Yeah,
I think we have a
it's
lot of
always
fun
a
together.
blast being here. I'm
Yeah.
always honored when you ask me. So,
Of
if I
course.
don't have anything going on, I'll come running.
Sounds good. All right. Well, why don't you let people know where they can find you online?
Oh my goodness. Okay, so I'm on Instagram, I'm on Twitter, never on Discord, but I'm on Discord, still
Yeah.
not on Blue Sky. One day I will be on Blue Sky, I swear.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really care about the blue sky. I need to get you on Letterboxd. I really think you'll like Letterboxd.
I do have a letterbox now.
Oh, you didn't even tell me. You suck.
I know. And my letterbox is Donna Does Cinema. I figured I'd be cheesy while I
What?
do
How long ago did you do this?
not that long, really. It hasn't been maybe a month, so not too long. And I don't really have a lot of movies on there either, so
I see how you
don't go
are.
rushing to look it up.
Oh, I'm going. I'm on it right
Don't.
now. Followed.
But
Look at
yeah, so I
that.
am on Letterboxd, people. Not that I put a lot of things there, but
You
you can
definitely
also
should.
find. Yeah, you can also listen to me on my own podcast, Donna the Dead, wherever you listen to podcasts. I'm mostly on Instagram, so you can please follow me there because that's where I spend most of my time and hang out.
Definitely go follow her. Go listen to her podcast. It's a lot of fun. If you like her here, you'll love her there. So,
Oh.
yeah. Yeah. Didn't even know you were on Letterboxd.
I wanted to build up a nice following of movies before I started telling people that I was on it because I was
No, I needed to
posting
know you were there. That way I could start liking your stuff.
I don't know. I like some weird movies. You may not.
Hey, I see. The two movies you've listed are movies I've
See,
actually
there's
seen.
two, and I've had it
Hey,
for a month.
hey.
That's That should tell you something.
All right. Well, now you have to follow me back. So,
I will.
all right. Well, I thank you again, and we'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely.
Thanks again to Donna for joining me. On Monday, Christy Adams from Nightmare Toys is back to get physical with Killer Workout and Death Spa. Then, on Friday, Ashley Thomas returns to the show to talk about the Hawkeye TV show. Thanks for listening. Creepy and Geeky is a part of the Morbidly Beautiful Podcast Network. Please check out morbidlybeautiful.com/podcasts for more great shows. If you like what you've heard, please consider giving the show 5 stars and a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Also, please share the podcast on social media to help spread the word. Make sure to subscribe on your favorite podcast app or at creepyandgeeky.com. Music for the podcast is Gratitude, composed by Harper Smith. You can follow the podcast on social media at Creepy and Geeky on both Twitter and Instagram. If you'd like to follow me, I'm GeekThulu on Twitter and Geek.Thulu on Instagram. You can support the podcast by ordering teas and more on TeePublic or by donating to the coffee page. All of the links are in the show notes. Finally, don't forget, stay creepy.